On this episode, I interview Ashley, also known as Ashley Ye Outside on Instagram. Ashley is an ultra runner from Reno. She has completed a handful of ultras, including 300 milers. She's completed over 25 marathons, 10 of those being Boston marathons. She most recently won the Angeles Crest 100 miler a few weeks ago. And today we're going to be talking about her ultra running journey. We're going to be talking about how she went from fracturing her skull to running 100 milers. And of course, we're going to be talking about her Angeles Crest 100 experience.
Welcome to the She Runs Trails podcast. I am your host, Element Sudaisy. I am an ultra runner and endurance mindset coach. If you're new here, hello there. In this podcast, I interview other female trail runners in hopes to educate, empower, and inspire more women to run on the trails. If you're a returning listener and have been enjoying the podcast, it would really mean a lot to me if you can rate and leave a review in whichever platform you're listening to this episode. If you would like to support the podcast and help it keep it ad-free, please consider donating as low as a dollar to the podcast. You can donate through the Anchor account. The link is in the show notes. This will really help me. Thank you so much for your support. Let's get into the show.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Ashley. I'm super excited to just learn more about your story, and it's amazing. Congratulations on AC 100. And I can't wait to hear kind of your perspectives. I was out there spectating all day. So it was nice to see like what the runners were going through. But before we get into that, tell us, like, how did you get into ultra running?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. This is pretty fun. So I started running in undergrad as means of losing some weight, you know, just started to like the 15 minutes at a time jogging. And then it took me a full year to get up to like a half marathon. And then after that, I moved out west. So I'm from New Hampshire. So I did my first half marathon and I was like, oh, I'm not terrible at this. This was kind of fun. So then I moved out west and I was going to the University of Nevada, Reno, here in Reno. And they had a marathon training class. So I did the course on how to train for a marathon. And so then I was kind of got the bug, you know, the road running bug. So I did a lot of marathons for like maybe 11, 12 years, something like that. And then I got this dog who was really bad on leash, right? He was pretty terrible and moved to a house right next to trails. And I'm like, let's give this a try. And I was like, man, this is way more fun than running on the road. So I started doing just like short runs. And then in 2017, I ran my first 50K.
And what led you to running your first 50K? Was it like you just kind of like, hey, let me just see if I could do more of a marathon kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, like, let's see if I can do it, right? I feel like that's kind of the whole idea behind all of this stuff is like, can I do this, right? So, and I mean, it was in Lake Tahoe, so it was pretty. So, you know, not a terrible way to go.
And So I saw one of your posts, I think recently you have your 10-year anniversary. You had an accident and you had a bike accident, right?
Yeah.
So it seems like you were road running. You had this bike accident. So tell us a little bit more about the bike accident that you had.
Yeah. So I was training I did triathlons for a while. So I was training for an Ironman. And my family and I actually were doing, it's called America's Most Beautiful Ride. And so it's a ride around Lake Tahoe. And, they actually don't know what happened, but it was like I think it was like 10 miles into it or 20, like pretty early on. And my heart rate monitor just said like 30 beats per minute. I just went like face to the ground and passed out riding like 20 something miles an hour. So, they got a care flight. So I was in the ICU for a few days and then the neuro ward for I think almost 2 weeks total at the hospital. So I fractured 3 bones in my skull and just kind of got generally kind of tossed around. So that took a minute, right? I think I had to stay in Reno. I was living in Idaho then. So I had to stay in Reno with my parents for another 2 weeks. That was a bit of a recovery, but I think the hardest part of that was trying to get on a bike again after that.
Mm-hmm. Was it like kind of having like a trauma or like anxiety or kind of being nervous that you might fall again or something
like that? Yeah. Luckily, I can't really remember it. So that's kind of nice. But yeah, so it was like 2 weeks in the hospital, then 2 weeks like at my parents' house. Then I had to go back to Idaho and I was kind of partially working because I was on a lot of drugs. But I guess it's almost easier when you're on drugs because you're not really processing a lot of it. Like with like regular running injuries, you're actually like, I really feel great. I can run right now, but I can't because I've got this foot thing or this ankle thing. But this one, I was kind of like too messed up to do laundry. So like, you know, you weren't really thinking about running at the moment, but I did have, so the accident happened in June and I had a Ragnar relay. Do you know what the relays are that you mm-hmm. do with the team? I have some girls that I do relays with that we've been doing it forever. And I had one in like mid or late September. And I was like, okay, like we got to get back in time to do the Ragnar. Cause like I'm captain and we're going to have fun. And so I think the hardest part was once I could start running again, like how out of shape I was from taking, I don't know, 2.5 months off because I lost a lot of all my muscle mass, you know, because I got really thin in the hospital. So I remember I ran like 2 miles and it was so painful. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? But so that part was hard to come back and be so out of shape and so sore when you're like, I was just running a marathon and training for an Ironman and in the best shape of my life. So, yeah, so that was the challenging part, I think. Once it became real and you're like, oh, now I'm not dead. Cool. Now I actually have to get back in shape, which is hard.
Mentally, how did you, like, you know, as an athlete, when we get injured, every injury or anything that's a setback and puts us back from, like, we see all this progress and then we have a setback that kind of makes us lose our progress. What did you do to help your mental health kind of like, all right, you get that feeling we're starting from the beginning, but you know that you're really not, but you are, you feel that way. Like, how did you allow yourself to like, you know what, let me just keep showing up. Let me just bypass. What helped you kind of for your mental health?
So I would say back then I didn't do a good job with that. I just would push through and not care about that stuff and not actually be like, okay with not feeling good, you know? But I've been injured a handful of times since then with some pretty like decent injuries. And I'm getting better at saying like, this is just what happens, right? This is some time. And like, what can you control? Like you can control certain things. You can do PT, you can sleep better, you can do things. So in my most recent injuries that weren't as serious, but still like take you out of running for a while and make you feel like you kind of have to start over a little bit, I'm a little bit better at being a little more graceful with myself and letting things happen. And you're like, well, that kind of sucked. And maybe tomorrow will be better.
And this was, so you get this accident. At any point did you feel like, oh my God, am I ever going to be able to run again? Or was there any?
I think it wasn't, am I going to be able to run again? It was like, because at that point I was doing the marathon, like chasing PRs kind of thing. And I was getting better. Right. And I was getting in really good shape. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm ever going to get back there again. And that was pretty hard. And I actually did after, forget if it was the next year, but I actually set like my road marathon PR like after that, which was cool. But then I just couldn't really get back to that point again. And I think that whole point in marathon running, when you train for so many months and it comes down to like one day and it's so time-based and you're like off by 3 minutes and you, you know, you miss it. But yeah, so, I mean, that's why ultra running is so much better for me, I think. And like good for a lot of people is that it's not like, you have 30 seconds of this, you know, did you stop and tie your shoe? Now you're not going to get in time and stuff like that. Whereas ultra, there's so much more than just the running to take into effect. Yeah.
Let's talk about ultra running and road running and how like it differs because yeah, like in, you're, and this is for those who don't know or heard this later on, I did mention Ashley has not ran one or two or three or five. She's ran 10 Boston marathons. So, you know, we have an idea that you are a fast runner and, you know, at one point you were running very, well, you're still competitive. You won AC 100. So you're still considered a fast runner in my books, but,
I was a faster road runner,
but cause they always say like ultra runners are just slower runners, but totally. They have higher endurance. But, like how did running competitively road running compared to running competitively ultra running? Like how does that differ? And what do you see the pros of ultra running? You know, you mentioned one of it is kind of like the time. Yeah. But are there other things?
I mean, I think it's also the community is a little bit different. When you go to those races, there's like, especially because I got into like the Ironman scene for a little bit, and like they're super, I would say like they're really kind of, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Serious, right? Mm-hmm. And then the big road marathons are pretty serious too, especially when you're trying to, you know, like the higher I was up in those corrals, like my faster years at Boston, like people are really serious. And so you take off and it's just like dead silence and no one's chatting. So, I mean, the trail I think is a good to get into because it's a little more inviting, and there's less, you have so much time in a race, usually, especially the longer the race goes, you have so much time to make up for problems, right? And it doesn't have to be out of the gates fast, which is actually probably, I found that that's a bad way to try to do your ultras, right? Yeah. So I think it's more just that it's inviting and the stress seems a little less, and there's just more things to think about, right? You have way more things to think about than just running. There's your food and your gear and the weather. Not that the weather is not a, it is an element also in road running, but since you're out there longer, the weather can be more of an issue. You know, I think all those things are elevated the more time you spend out there. So there's just other things to like put in there. So it kind of takes all the pressure, like not all the pressures on just running fast. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's, and like, I've also, since I've switched, I mean, my relationship with running has changed too, but just like the scenery is really nice. I mean, running in Boston is great because you're running through like a 26 mile keg party. It's really super duper fun. I suggest it to anyone who can get in there and do it just for the experience or to watch. But I mean, running around some of these scenic like places is pretty epic to do trail runs in some pretty awesome places.
So what led you to signing? I know we talked a little bit about, you know, you were running, you kind of wanted to challenge yourself next to that 50K. Like when you, after you're running your first 50K, which you won, right? Like, or you got first.
Oh, yeah.
You won your first 50K, right?
So, I mean, there's like a small caveat in that there was some people in the front that took a wrong turn and got lost, like six of them. And one of them was a female. So, but yes, I did.
But hey, that's what happens in ultra running.
Like, totally. That's another thing. Course markings and knowing it was a local, like it was in Tahoe. So I knew the course and I was like that. We all started going down one way and I was like, guys, like, this is wrong. So, but they were fast enough that they were in front of us and then they missed a whole chunk. So yeah. But I was like, oh, this was really fun. And I actually did pretty well in it. Like I'm into this trail running thing. Yeah.
So what gets you out on the trails? What's your why? Why do you run ultras?
So I would say my relationship with running has changed so much over time. Cause like I said, in the beginning, like when I was an undergrad, it was to deal with my freshman, sophomore, junior, 30 or whatever, you know, to weight loss. And then it got to, I want to run fast, right? These marathons are fun. I'm getting faster. So I want to speed work and I want to do this. And then it kind of got a little more when I wasn't getting fast, it was a little, more to like deal with, like a food problem. Like I probably had like a pretty not amazing relationship with food and feeling. Sorry, this is my dog. He's my guard dog. Apparently.
It's okay. Don't worry. It's okay. We've had many guests. We have our other friends and sometimes they appear in the show as well. It's totally fine.
This is my dog's first podcast. So, you know, oh, he'd be like, hey, shh. So I think it got to the point where I was like, well, I have to run because I have to burn all these calories. And, you know, when you go through that, there's, you know, I think there's a lot of this in running and ultra running and road running of slightly disordered eating when you get to the point where you think you have to run because how else am I going to get to eat all this food or things like that. So then my why kind of changed to I have to do that. And then running trails more became a little easier because I liked it more. It was more enjoyable and it was less about burning calories and more about going outside and doing things and getting my dog outside and watching him be happy. And so it's really helped me transform into a healthier relationship with exercise in general and running. But yeah, a lot of the times, I mean, I work a 4-day work week, so I get to do a lot of adventuring in Tahoe and the nearby areas. So it's kind of like, let's go see some cool stuff today, you know, like let's get out there and do that. And I have some trails in the foothills and like I can run to from my house. So I work in fluorescent lighting all day for 10 to 11 or 12 hours a day. So getting out and doing some outside time there is just refreshing and nice. So I kind of don't have as much of a problem with getting out. It's more keeping it in check and like listening to my body when I don't feel up for it, like being like, maybe not today, you know.
We have a question from Disco Loco. Do you run with your dog? If so, how many miles?
Oh, I do run with my dog. My dog is my training partner. He actually just turned 10. So he's actually still crushing it. But I think when I was training for canyons this spring, he actually did like a 26 miler with me in the canyon. So he can run still like a, you know, easy 15, 16. He'll do a 20 or 20 plus. But now he wants rest days afterwards. So, but I kind of eased him up to it like you would with a human, right? So we actually ran I don't even know if I've ever run other 50Ks, but we ran a dog 50K when he was like 8 months. I mean, 5K, like a road 5K that you can do with your dog. And we were the winners. He was like, and so I was like, yeah, best.
So yeah. He's used to being part of the winning team, right?
Yeah. He got like a special bandana, but that's when I used to tie him around my waist and just like let him send me. It was great. Yeah.
For anyone who has a dog, like what would you recommend if they want to get them into like trail running with them? What helped you? And I know different breeds and different things are different, but what for anyone who just got a dog and they want to get them, you know, mm-hmm. they prepare, what helped for you?
I mean, going places where you know where you're going to begin with, probably, and always having like the stuff that you need, like always having a leash on you. If you're going to go off leash, like making sure your dog can come to call and is well behaved and you're not anywhere near cars, and there's like the safety aspect and that you have water and potentially snacks if you're going to go longer, and then it's not too hot. So like think of like they can, you know, think of the dog, right? Like they're not the same as us, but and don't increase their miles too much. Kind of treat them like a human a little bit with their mileage, but also remember they can't sweat and they need water too. So either take them places where there's shade or there's lakes or streams, and then just gradually up their miles, you know. And if they don't want to go, like it's going to be a very hard day for me when my dog cannot train with me anymore. But I think it's also, you gotta like, if they don't want to go, they don't want to go. And like, that's something you just have to, you know, I will be sad about that, but you know, I think we got a little bit of time left. So also remembering that, you know, they can choose if they want to go or not. And that I think there's some breeds that would just go forever. So you got to keep that in mind too. Like you don't want to run your dog like 60 miles or whatever at once. But yeah,
like yay, I'm going. Like I saw one of your pictures. I think you were out there, and then you had like a few pictures. You guys were out on the trail, and then one of the pictures is just him on his bed, like knocked out. Like, yep, that
totally.
That's
yeah,
much what,
yeah.
How the end of the day, like knocked out.
We do a lot of camping trips where we'll just go, like we just pack up the car, and then we go and we find a place to camp, and he's just out, and I'm just sitting there. I have my beer and my dinner, and he is tired, and I'm listening to music, and I'm like, this is good stuff here. Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about, you mentioned kind of like what you've learned from listening to your body, and the issue you don't have is getting out the door, but kind of, all right, hold down a little bit, or kind of take it easy. You need to take it easy. What were some signs, or what led you to kind of like listening or be more in tune to your body? What are the benefits that you've seen from listening to your body?
Yeah. I mean, I would actually say that this last race, I'm probably going to give it to the reason I went so well is because I actually really started listening to my body. And it was kind of by default. I was so I guess I'll rewind. I was training for, I did the Canyons 100K, which is up by Auburn in the spring. And I was just kind of just crushing miles, I think, because I was just bored. And I was like, got to run all these miles and doing big stuff. And then I did like my DIY training camp where I did like the 3 days when you do like big days for 3 days in a row. And I was so tired, and I just like overcooked it. I just couldn't recover. And that was like 5 weeks out, and I just basically had to shut it down. And I did fine, but like, I didn't do that well. And then this time around, so I took some time off, and then I did like two big weekends before Angeles Crest. And one of them was the Broken Arrow Sky Race weekend. I did all three races, which I love, I highly recommend that. It's a super fun weekend. And I fell actually walking down from the vertical K. So it was too easy to take the tram down. So I was literally walking like a 0 mile an hour pace and just fell down. And I like really smacked my knee on a rock, like really bad. And so I did the next 2 days, and it was super swollen. So I took like 10 full days off because I thought it was a bone bruise. And I think that was kind of a blessing in disguise. And I was like, man, I feel great. And then when my next big training weekend like I did another lower week and then a huge training week where I did my biggest training week ever, over 100 miles, and like was just taking bigger weeks but bigger rest weeks. And then this happened, and I was like, AC happened. I was like, I feel awesome before this race. I've never felt so rested and ready for a race. So it's definitely been a slow progress, but this was kind of just like the punch that was like, maybe this is, you know. And I turned 40 this year, and I feel like you need, I can't run as much as I did when I was 24, right? Like I can't back to back to back. I just need more rest. I can do the big things, and I'm actually in better shape than I was then, but I think I just need to let my body recover from those big efforts to actually get the benefit of them.
It's like you're training smarter, not harder. You're still training hard, but definitely more wise, right? It's not just like, I'm just going to run all these miles because I'm young and I can just kill myself.
Totally.
Now it's like, no, I'm going to be strategic about these workouts.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to spend some time at the gym, like taking care of myself in other ways and sleep more and like eat better food and eat more food. And, you know,
there was a question here, which kind of, I'm going to put it up because it relates to what we're just talking about. And the question is that AC 100, you said there was, this was your first good race since 2019.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. In 2019, I actually ran my first 100 miler. So 2018, I had like an awesome year. I did pretty well in all the races, but I ran the Rio del Lago 100. And it was a really great day. I started from behind. I think I was just so terrified of the distance, right? Like I went in so like, this is going to be crazy. I don't know what I'm doing. So I just went super duper slow and then just felt good and was able to move up and ended up coming in second there and ran like 20 and a half hours or something. Like it was crazy. I was like, oh my gosh, like I wanted like maybe 24, 25, you know? And I still don't really know. I think it was just being cautious in the beginning. You know, that course is a little easier than AC and it's not hot. So it's very easy to eat there. But yeah. And then after that, I mean, I guess we had the pandemic, right? So like everything got canceled after that. And I did kind of a solo 100-mile race in Tahoe. Like when AC got canceled, I did my own like little 100, which was my first battle with heat and my lesson on salt tabs and sodium levels. And then 2021, I just like had races where I think I was just maybe trying to make up. I ran a lot in 2020 because I think I was, I didn't have anything else to do, right? None of us had things to do. So I ran like probably, I think it was like 30 to 40% more miles than I ever do in a year. And I'm guessing that really didn't help my cause, you know? And so 2021, I just had a bunch of like, oh, like they were fine. Like I got through stuff, but I went back to RDL with, I got a free entry into RDL for being the first rookie that came in. So I went back being, being pretty overly confident in myself. And I'm like, ooh, I'm going to break 20 hours. I'm like, I'm so good at this 100-mile game. And I just went out like real fast. And that didn't serve me very well at all. So it was kind of a death march for like 20 miles at the end. But I think it definitely probably taught me more than the race that went super well. You know, the ones that go poorly sometimes teach us more. So that was a good like lesson, I guess. But yeah, so I think that I'm finally starting to realize that it's more than just running. Like training for ultras is more than just running. And it's also, I feel like this time I really enjoyed my training more. Like I went to really cool places and I was like, since I wasn't going every weekend to do like 20 back to back 20 mile runs, I was like really excited to do them when I was doing them. And so I was happier to be training, happier to be resting. And I've never been like more calm and like cool with going into a race. Like I even told my crew, I was like, hey, like I might not finish this. Like, people don't finish this race, like, and I'm okay with that. Like, it's, if you know, like, if shit hits the fan, like, I want to finish, but, like, if that's, I've never gone into a race saying that, you know, like, it's okay. It's okay to not, I think I went into my last few races being, like, you have to be awesome, and now I'm, like, it's okay. Like, you're gonna have a bad day here and there, so, and it ended up being my best day, which is funny.
So, there's this pattern where, like, the times, your races, where you go with an open kind of heart, kind of just, I'm just going to go have fun, see what happens, try my best. That's when you do well. And when you kind of go in, like, I'm going to go do my best. I'm going to crush a record, or I'm going to put this whole pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
And like the second time you did Rio, you know, it humbled you in a sense. You're like, whoa, like, okay. Like, even though I ran the same race, it could give you a whole different experience. And and now you joined into your third 100 miler for AC. It was just kind of like, were you shocked? Like, let's talk about AC. Let's go there.
Yeah. It's like, I almost like have to be like, did that actually happen? Like, holy shoot, that's crazy. So I like, you know,
Before we start, I just want to interrupt. If you want to just briefly explain what the Angeles Crest 100 is, just a little bit of stats for those that do not know.
So it's funny because it got canceled 2 years in a row. So we were all signed up for this. I don't know if the lottery is in the end of 2019 or the beginning of 2020, but it's been 2.5 years since we registered for this race, right? And I remember I registered kind of after that first RDL when I'm like, I'm so good at this. Like, I'm going to crush this. But I would like to do Western States one time, you know, at some point. So I keep putting in the lottery. And since RDL is a colder race, like a cooler race, I was like, I want to find a harder one that I'm going to be out there for longer that's hot and see how do I do when it's hot out, right? So I registered for that. So Angeles Crest is in Southern California. The normal course is actually a point-to-point race that starts in Wrightwood, which is like a 6,000-ish foot elevation. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of climbing. You're climbing over mountains and then you're going down in elevation as you go. And it gets pretty warm. But this year, because of the fires and everything, the forest or national forest or whatever was still closed. So it was an out and back. So it was 51, I guess, miles out. And you flip around, you got to go back up to the climbs that you did in the beginning, which there's one that Baden-Powell is like a 3,400 feet of climbing near the end. It's pretty.
Yeah, it's like 9,000 feet high.
So there's definitely elevation. There's definitely climbing. There's definitely heat. So it was definitely much more challenging than RDL as far as like the course itself.
And you started the race and you were kind of like near the front, but you weren't leading the race. You were just, So tell us how that went for you.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, I almost treated it like my first race because the course is so different and so hard, like my first 100, you know, and I had such that bad race and I was like, all I want to do is not, I also, that second RDL, I kind of like mentally blew up too. I was like crying and very like, this isn't how it was, you know, I was kind of a brat about it. So I was like, we are going to stay positive and have fun and just be thankful that we're not injured and we're out here, right? Like make the start lines good. So we start and there's a pretty big climb. So you kind of just like tucked in. I was talking to this guy, this French guy for a while, you know, you just kind of make friends as you do in these things and just jog. And, you know, you're kind of zigzagging with a bunch of women back and forth. And I don't know where I was, not very far up at all, probably 10th woman, maybe something like that. Very like, you know, conservative. And I'm just watching my downhills to make sure I'm not blowing up my quads. It's not hot yet because it started at 5 a.m. and you were up climbing up to like 8,000 and 9,000 feet. So it was nice and cool. And it was actually beautiful. The sun came up. It's that first 25 miles of that course is really amazing. And so like, I see my crew, I'm feeling good, like keep going. So things were good. Things were going really awesome till I would say I got to, it's called 3 points, I think. Mm-hmm. 30 something ish miles maybe.
Yeah, I think. Yes, because Chaleo is 40, 41. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I got there and I think I've done this before where I get overwhelmed at aid stations when I see people and I do things and I like forget to do things right that you're supposed to do. And I didn't get like the ice bath thing because it was getting hot then. So I had done this sock thing I saw. So I volunteer at Western States in the Tahoe Rim Trail endurance runs. And I've seen people doing this where they just have like tube socks and they put ice in tube socks and like tie around their neck. So I didn't like an ice bandana the first time I tried it back before because it just flops around. So I found these hot pink socks in my drawer and I was like, we're going to try this. So we fill them with ice and you just wrap them around. And that seemed to work pretty well. It was actually kind of rad because it would actually slowly, it stayed in there pretty good because they're kind of thick and it would like basically drip cold water on your shirt the whole time. And I stayed in there for like almost 2 hours. It was crazy. And then you could like squeeze the ends and get like some cold water on your arms and your face and stuff. So that worked well, but you got to go to the aid station, actually cool down first with the ice bath thing, you know? And I remember I got to 3 points and I said, oh, I'm going to get that on the way out. And then I never did. Right. And then I'm like running. I'm like, man, I'm hot. Like I'm getting really hot. Like I don't feel awesome. And then I went to the next one, which is that little one, the Mount Hillier. Mm-hmm. And it's like no crew. And it's like this tiny little one. And they didn't have an ice bath. And I was like, I'm getting hot. Like I don't feel good. And all of a sudden, like the nausea started kicking in. So like the dry heaving starts, you know, and I'm like, oh, and I'm like running with these dudes, like pulling over, like, oh, like just, you know, not feeling well. And I'm like, okay, so I just got to get to Chileo, right? Like, I'm just like, this is not going well. And so like at one point I'm like dry heaving and then I'm like jogging with this guy and I'm like, I got my big ass sunglasses on so you can't see, but I'm like kind of crying, you know? And he's just like, it's okay. We're going to get to the aid station. You can figure it out. And I was like, okay, like you will not cry in front of your crew. Like get it out now, like get your shit together. Let's do this. So like I go to my crew and I was like, I'm hot. And so we go to the ice bath thing. I stood there for a while, right? And I was like, I just need to cool down and reset. And at that point I was super nauseous. So I was like, I don't want any of this Tailwind, which I love Tailwind. I can usually drink Tailwind all the time, but I was like, nope, I don't want any of this anymore. And so we kind of had to sit there and troubleshoot. And I remember I'm just like sitting there and I'm like eating pieces of watermelon, just like spitting it out like a baby. Cause I'm like, I don't want this anymore. And I'm like, okay, we'll just try a few things. So I took some gels with me and my crew chief, she's like, everyone's going to stay here. I'm going to go there and see you and like, see if you're okay. Cause it's at that point, it's an out and back. It's like 7 miles or something to the turnaround and you're getting like lower and it's getting hotter. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like gross. But I feel like once I left there, I was like cooled down a little bit. Right. And so I had all the ice on me and I felt cooler, but I just felt super nauseous. But I was like, that's fine. We're just going to keep like, you just have to keep moving. And then once you get to the end, you get to turn around and go back. And I was just stoked because I do a ton of hiking in my training. I actually did like Mount Whitney was part of like my biggest weekend of training. So I was like, just get me back to the hiking and the cool weather. I just want to go back up to the mountains. So I was just like, you just have to get 7 more miles and then you get to start coming back. Right. And, so and that's where you run into all that poodle dog bush plant, mm-hmm. which yeah. We don't have that up here.
Yeah. That's it's worse than poison oak. It's worse than poison oak. Yeah.
It's crazy. And I got poison oak at canyons, which like left scars. Like I got, like, I don't do well apparently with the dangerous plants. So it's everywhere. So I actually took a wrong turn trying not to like run into the poodle bush or whatever and figured it out on my watch. And I was like, oh shit. So I got to go back. So I'm moving at this point, but it's an out and back. So you can see how many people are in front of you. So I think there's like 7 women in front of me. So at this point, I'm not even thinking about place. Like at this point, I'm nauseous and I'm like, I just want to finish this race. So I just wanted to cool down. And I knew I was picking up my pacer at 57 when I came back. So I was like, you just have one out and one back. Don't run into the devil bush. Like try not to throw up or cry. Like let's just try to, and I was at that point, I went from eating like 300 calories an hour to like maybe 100 if I could, right? So I was like, just try to eat something. And so I get back to Chileo, like I'm feeling better, like I'm starting to eat things, like I took like a couple gels over the course of that time, and then I pick up my pacer and the sun, it's starting to cool down. I have like one more second. We keep wearing the ice, but at that point it's like almost, I want to say almost 7 p.m like it took me a little over 12 hours to do the out. And then I came back. So it was like almost 7 p.m. by the time we left. And I think he said the girl that was winning was like an hour and a half in front of me. And I'm like, cool. Like that's, we're just like, I'm starting to feel better. So I feel cool. Like let's get hiking and doing stuff. Right. So we went through the next sections and he's like, yeah, you're moving pretty well. And I'm like, oh yeah. Like I'm actually feeling pretty good now. And we caught like, I think in the next section, we caught a woman there and passed her and we're just kind of motoring along, but it starts to cool down. And then we get to the next crew stop and I can take off the ice thing. And then he had told me, so I had this Roctane like Summit tea flavor that I think is kind of yucky. It tastes like bland iced tea and I don't even like iced tea, right? It's kind of gross. I like the sugary stuff, right? But he's like, try this. And I tried it and I'm like, oh, like that'll actually do. And he had brought the whole tub. So we just abandoned my whole thing. So at all the things, we're just filling up. So I'm just drinking tons of this stuff that I normally don't like. So, and I'm getting spring energies, which I don't normally eat that much because I can get those down. So it was like, I brought so many waffles and so many goo gels and so much Tailwind and I wanted nothing to do with any of them. It was ridiculous. So then we had to just abandon ship and come up with a whole new plan. But then I was eating food again. So that was good. And then we got back to Cloudburst, which
after the road, and that's right before the road climb from Three Points to Cloudburst, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we get there and things are like getting better. And I think one of the aid station people, which I know you're never supposed to trust them with like how you're doing, right? You never, you know, but they're like, oh yeah, you're doing great. You're in fourth. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Like, what do you mean fourth? And they're like, well, there's three women in front of you. That's it. And they named them. And I was like, oh, like we passed all the other ones. I was like, oh shit. Okay, cool. Like, and I'm feeling good. So we start running on the road and we catch two more on like just that road section. And I'm kind of like we come up behind and like someone and my patient's like, is this really happening? I'm like, I don't really know. Like, this is crazy. Like, and like, we're passing people like I know that are really good runners. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, this is cool. Right. So we're running. And then, yeah. And I think I'm trying to remember, we get to, is it what starts at the 20?
It's slip.
Yeah. Yeah. So we get there. And I think that the girl who was in first was just leaving when I got there. And so I was like, okay, if she left an hour and a half in front of me, like, I feel like I can get this, you know? And so we start up that big climb up to Baden Powell, and I got her in like a first couple of miles maybe. And we just like, we're hiking at a good, like, I just felt good. Like I had legs, like I was hiking like a normal hike. I'm not a very good downhill runner. So I think this course just really suited me, right? Like all the ups in the end, like elevation doesn't really bother me up to 9, because that's what I do in Tahoe a lot. If I went to Colorado, I'm sure that would be a different story for sure. But that elevation wasn't too hard for me. And so like we were just hiking strong. And then, and then we got to, and I was even like, I had taken some jokes from like, you know, one of those like dad joke calendar things, you know, that are like every day of the
year.
So I had some at work. So I shoved them in my crew like box just, and I was like, guys, I'm really not doing well. And I looked at one. And so like, I was like cracking jokes at like some of the aid stations from like the dad joke thing. And and then like we're climbing up. There's this one part where we're climbing up though, and it's hard. It wasn't all easy for sure. But we're going up, and I remember my pacer, he's sitting there and he's like, see that headlamp where, because at this point you can, you know, there's so many switchbacks. There's like what, 48 or something absurd. You know what I mean? So you can see him. He's like, we only have to go up to that light. And I'm looking up and I'm like, oh my God, that's so far. And he's like, actually, that's a star. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like I can't go all the way up there, but yeah. So we're going down and then we get to the last aid station and it's like 9 miles to the end, maybe something like that. And I'm still,
so you passed the first place going up to Baden Powell.
Yeah. So like 70.
Didn't see her anymore?
No, I didn't see her again. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, and she was leading the race almost the whole way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That must, so, when you get to inspiration point, your mile, was it 91? Your inspiration, 91, 92, your inspiration point. What happened at that point?
So I'm feeling pretty good. And I remember asking my parents, I'm like, am I allowed to ask what place am I? He's like, yeah, you can ask whatever you want. And I was like, so I asked him, I said, hey, like, and I'm stopping for like a good 8 to 10 minutes at every aid station. I'm eating some mashed potatoes and some noodles. So, like I'm getting food in. I'm not eating a ton while I'm running. But I'm getting some, you know, I'm getting something in, but I'm stopping and I'm like taking my shoes off to get this sand and stuff. There's a lot of sand in my shoes on this. So getting that stuff out and lube and all that stuff. So I'm taking my time at the aid stations, but not like an excessive amount of time. But I asked them, I said, hey, like what place am I in? And they're like, you're in 13th overall. And I'm like, oh shit, 13th. And I was like, all right, let's magic number's 3. We got to get 3 dudes. So we did. We actually caught 3 guys on that last climb. And that's when it started getting hard. That downhill is really steep at the end. That last, like, what is it, 5 miles, 4, 3.5? I don't know what it was.
But Acorn Trail.
In my mind, I'm like, oh, man, that's so buttery. I'm going to be just, like, cruising down that. And it was not – there was no cruising. Like, I was, like, you know, like, shuffling down. And I was and at that point, my pacer and I, we each put, like, an earbud in with some EDM music. And we're just, like – we did it through the night for a little bit just to like cruise and get, you know, get going on things. And then I hear this like jingling in the back, and we had passed these guys like farther back, you know, and I'm like, what is that noise? And my ears are kind of popping because the elevation changed. So I take the earbud out and I'm like, and all of a sudden I hear this guy that I've been running with earlier, and he's like, hey. And I'm like, oh shit, like what, you know, like I don't want to do this. And my pacer was like, you gotta do this. So then we just were like, I was like, oh, hey, how's it going? And I was like, shit. So then we had to run. Like, my last couple miles were like in the sevens, which was like ridiculously painful. But I was like, I want a chick in the top 10. And I want it to be me if I can, you know? So yeah, like I definitely got a little more competitive once I knew I was doing well. Like that didn't really turn on till like mile 70 probably, but then it got pretty fun. Then I was like, all right, let's do this.
Now having that experience of like, you know, you start the race, you're going open mind, you're like, I'm just going to have fun, try my best. And, you know, you have this race, you're having a point, you know, the low moment, the heat is getting to you. And then you're just like, you know what? I'm feeling better. You shake it off. And then you see yourself passing these runners, you know, and there's an elite runner there running that's right there. So I'm sure when you passed her, you're probably like, oh my God, like, is this happening? Like, I'm just a regular like runner. Like, this is just a hobby. It's not my full-time job.
Totally. I'm like a chick that's just having a good day. Like, what's going on out here?
Because mentally, did you feel that it did like a shift? Like, you just probably pain that you were probably feeling like this took over, this joy or this excitement, this kind of like, I'm in hunting mode now. Like, let's
team
now. Like, do you think it really changed? And even at the end, racing those last 3 miles, like, did that surprise you that you were even able to do 7-minute miles at the last of like 100-mile race? Like, what do you think it's causing that?
I mean, so that's actually kind of how it happened at RDL that first time. Mm-hmm. I caught the first place. The first place woman was like hours in front. Mm-hmm. I caught the second place woman at mile 95, mm-hmm. and we had to run the end, you know. So there's something that definitely, when you're that far into it and you're that invested and you're doing, like, you're surprising yourself, there's just something that shuts it all off and you're like, let's do this, you know. It's exciting too. And people definitely do it without pacers. Like, I get that. That's awesome. But like when you're with a pacer too, and they're like, you're doing this, like you're doing so good. And you're just like, hell yeah, I am. And I mean, there's not a lot of times in your life you get to feel that, like that good, you know, like that you're just doing an awesome job, you know, like, I mean, I work and I don't really feel that at work when I'm doing an awesome job, you know? So it's just like, yeah, you just get this adrenaline boost where like, things suddenly don't hurt that much anymore. And you don't really care about feeling like you're going to barf. And I was told my face was green at the end. So like there, I clearly wasn't feeling that great. But you know, yeah, you just turn it on, I think. And you know, it's, I think after being out there for 20, I mean, this took me almost 26 hours after being out there for that long, you're like, you just want it over with too, right? Like you're like the fat, like if I walk this, it's going to take so many minutes. If I run this at a 7:30 pace, it's going to take half the time, you know? So I think you just turn it on and go. But yeah, it was definitely like, that feeling is pretty amazing.
There's a question here. What advice do you have for someone running Javelina 100? Are you familiar with the Javelina course?
I know the loops are there, right? I mean, I would just do like, whenever I go into any race now, I'm definitely just going to take it easy for the beginning. And I would almost say like, it was kind of nice to front load my calories when I was feeling good, when it was cooler out. And then like, you can kind of tone it back when it's hotter out, you know, cause you've already kind of put in a few more calories. Don't stop eating obviously, but you know, and plan that out and then just kind of save it. Cause I think part of it was that I felt so shitty in the middle that my legs kind of got saved. Cause there were some runnable spots that I was going really slow on cause I wasn't feeling good. So then when it came time to climb the mountains at the end, my legs felt like fresher, I think, than they would have if I was running faster in that like 30 to 60 mile range, you know? So I don't know what the Javelina, the loops would be interesting. I mean, that's just kind of like a mental game right there, you know, like knowing I would try to percentage your pace on like, you know, increasing at like your effort as the loops went on, maybe, you know, definitely not a coach though.
Yeah, it's a runnable course. Javelina, it's a what I've heard, or, you know, I haven't done it myself, but it's a pretty runnable course. So it there could be potential. I know there's something with Rio you mentioned. It's a different race than Angeles Crest, which is more of a mountain, kind of more hiking, climbing, downhill, uphill. What advice would you give for anyone? You know, you have 300 milers under your belt official, but then you did Tahoe Rim Trail, the 100 miles of that section, so that you technically have 400 miles of. What advice would you want to give for anyone running their first 100 miler in addition to what everything you just said, anything else you want to add to that?
I mean, I would definitely say be prepared for the unexpected, like be ready for things to pop up. Like you might be like, oh, I'm ready for like my feet to hurt and my knees to hurt and like your hips going to hurt, or you're going to have back pain, or you're going to chafe in a spot you've never chafed before. And just be ready for that. Like, what's your surprise today? Like, there's always going to be a surprise, I feel like. And then if it's an option to have like shoes to switch out, I did all of Angela's Crest in the same shoes, the same socks, the same outfit. Nothing changed the whole time except putting mittens on. So that was good. But the other ones I've had like a shoe issue and like a rubbing in a weird spot that I wanted like different shoes. So that was kind of nice to have like a change out if needed. And then I did learn when I was doing the Tahoe one, I took my shoes off just to like take them off. And then it hurt really bad to put them back on again. So I would say like, don't take them off unless they're hurting or you have sand in them or like you need to fix something. Like if you're just like, cause your feet are they're going to hurt no matter what you're doing. Right. Like you're running 100 miles, like they're going to hurt. So, don't take your shoes off unless you need to, you know,
like that say, don't break it if it's not broken. Kind of thing.
And then all the lube at every spot that you can. I always take, like a little squirrel's nut butter. And then, I always have some diaper rash cream on me, which is like the magic. If things get real bad, like, which they usually do at some point. So like that stuff is like, it's messy. So I try not to use it that much, but like that stuff will be magic if you need it.
Yeah. And as a woman, I feel like we sometimes forget, like, it's not just like even our sports bra.
Oh yeah.
Things, the sports bra or, you know, different parts of our body where we really don't even, like, just extra, more extra lube than,
yeah, like lube. Back, even like my back shaves sometimes, or like under my arms, like yeah, it's outrageous the amount of lube you can put on in this. Like, I actually put like lube all over my feet for the first time. It's funny, I wear exoskin socks, which I love, but they're really like, they're compression-y, and I'm always like, these things are so hard to get on, but I put like a ton of squirrel's nut butter on my feet this time, and I was like, oh, that's how you get them on. They like slipped right on. I was like, perfect. This is what I'm going to do from now on.
What shoes did you wear for AC 100 since you didn't change and you had that terrain between dirt and road?
Yeah. I wore the Salomon Ultra Glides the whole time. Yeah. And I kept them pretty. I wore them in my second RDL and I had a really hard time with them, but I think I was tying them too tight. Like I was pulling those quick laces too tight. Like I left them really loose this time. So my feet could, you know, expand a bit. But they were awesome. I like those shoes a lot. Yeah.
What do you think really helped you overcome the heat after, you know, that was one of your challenges, you know, you eventually started eating again, but what do you think really helped kind of, you know, just overcoming the heat? Or, and I know you mentioned in Rio, you kind of had the same experience with the heat issue, like based on your experience, what really helps just kind of deal with the heat for races?
I think that I kind of was like, I need to get to this aid station to reset. Like I need a second, right? Like, so I went and just getting that, like cooling down all the way. Like when I was at Cloudburst leaving the first time, I was actually like, there's a video, like I was actually cold when I left there. Like I have Raynaud's in my fingers, and my Raynaud's, that thing where your hands like turn white when they get cold. Like that kicked on after I left Cloudburst, cause I had so much ice on me. Like, I think just sitting there, like the aid stations are there. The aid station people are very happy to help you for as long as you want. Like taking the extra time to sit there and really cool down and be like not hot when you leave the aid station, you know, and then you have to get to the next one and doing the same thing there and just kind of thinking of it, just aid station, it's like reset, cool it down, and then just think you got to get to the next one and then you can do it again and try to get a few calories in on the way. And just instead of looking at the whole thing being like, how am I going to eat 200 calories an hour? I'm only at like mile 35 or whatever, like just one aid station to the next one and then stop and take care of yourself, cool down. Cause then once you get to the nighttime, it'll most likely depend, unless there's other races that stay hot, but for the most part, it'll cool down enough that you can kind of gain it back, but you can't lose it completely. Right. Cause if you totally stop eating, it's really hard to come back from that. So
what did you do to train for the heat, knowing that this was going to be a hot race?
Yeah, I did a lot of reading and I was like, I'm going to do the sauna thing. And then it's just like, life is like, it was not really feasible with my work schedule and everything to get to a sauna. So I didn't really train that much for the heat. I actually bought like Jason Koop's book on, his ultra running training, whatever book. And like, it's like, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, or you can just try to get as fit as you can. So I did like 3 runs from work, like the couple weeks before that were like 5 miles, but they were like 100 degrees. And cause it gets hot in Reno, you know? So I did like 3 5-mile runs in the heat and was just like, okay, I'm just gonna give it a try and see how it goes. Just cause like life got in the way and I just wasn't able to really train for it. Cause a lot of the stuff I do up in the mountains, it gets hot and like, you know, you go to Whitney, it's cold up there, you know, like you go to Mammoth and it's cold. So like, you don't really have to deal with the heat that much. There was actually that one big training weekend I did where I did a run in Tahoe on Friday. Me and my pacer, we went down and did Mount Whitney on Saturday. And then we did a DIY 50K in Mammoth. And it was actually pretty hot that weekend, which probably actually helped because I was like trying to eat stuff while I was pretty hot and nauseous towards the end of that. So it was kind of like one of those, it was hot for a while, like just before, like July, like hotter than normal. So that kind of helped, but I didn't really, I had all intentions of doing the full sauna, this and that training, and I didn't get around to it. So.
And how do you deal with when, you know, you have a training plan or, you know, you're like, I'm going to run this many miles. So this is my plan. And then life happens, right? Like you have adversity that comes along the way, especially if running not your full-time job. How have you handled situations where you're like, this is what I wanted to do, or kind of like expectations versus reality, and kind of how do you navigate those situations?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is actually more that like now I can't do all the things and I want to do all the things. Like I bike commute to work, which is like a little over 9 miles each way. Like I want to run every day, I want to do all these things, and like I need to sleep and I can't, you know what I mean? So it's like you can't ride your bike to work every day, or you can't run, you know, an hour and a half every morning before work. Like you need to sleep more. And I would say there was probably like a good 6 times this training cycle where I would go out and I was like, I'm gonna do this 18 mile like double mountain peak run, and I would start and I'd be yawning and like tripping on things. And I'm like, you're not doing this today. And like, normally I would like really let that get to me. I'd be like, oh my God. I think part of it is actually, so I take my dog with me on those things. And I like, there is definitely some times where he'll stop when I'm feeling like that. And he'll like, look at me and I'm like, oh, he doesn't want to go. And since he's getting older, I'm like, he doesn't want to go. And I'm like, oh, he's just reading me. Like, I don't want to go right now. So there's definitely the balance of like getting like the motivation to get out, which I can usually do, but like also listening, like, you're too tired to do this. Like you need to go home and take a nap and, or, you know, like go spend time with some friends or, you know, do some things like, or, you know, just prioritize your health a little bit more instead of just like crushing the miles. Like I have a long, I've been running for a long time now. I have a base, like trust it, that it's there, you know? But yeah, I used to be like, oh, Remy just doesn't, that's my dog's name. I'll be like, he just doesn't want to go. And I'm like, oh, he's just looking at you and you don't want to go on this run right now. Like you don't want to climb that mountain because you're exhausted and you know, my job is on my feet all day and it's kind of stressful, you know, it's just like a lot. And so I'm like, stress is stress. Like it's okay to like, you know, or if you get life stuff going on and how, you know, I own a house by myself. It's stressful sometimes. You're like, oh, this, you know, roof and stuff like that. Like that's stressful stuff, you know? So if you're just tired, like you're tired, right? Like not like you don't want to go, but if your body is fatigued enough, like is that 18 mile really going to be beneficial at this point? Probably not. So it's more like listening to like my body. And yeah, like sometimes I need to take care of my house and do other things, and that's okay. But I usually try to get out for like the big stuff, right? And then, you know, if I miss a 7 mile run, like you missed a 7 mile run, like, and like you got to think like in the grand scheme of things, like is that really going to crush you? Probably not, you know, but is that extra hour of sleep probably going to help you? Probably. Yeah. So
like prioritize getting that extra hour of sleep rather than prioritizing, forcing yourself to get out on a run where it's just going to spiral. Then eventually you're not even going to get to your long run because you're just in the sleep deprivation routine. Right.
Well, I got a Whoop like last year, one of those like wearable things. So you get your resting heart rate and your HRV and stuff. So I kind of monitor that. Like before Canyons, my resting heart rate was just like ticking up and up and up, and my HRV was like tanking. Like it was like the exact opposite of what you want. So not that you should use them for everything, because I think there's kind of fault in them, but it's a good metric. Like if you're feeling tired, if like your, if your numbers are also kind of showing like you feel like crap, like maybe you do need to just chill for a second and like, have you been eating enough and like drinking enough water and like sleeping enough, or do you feel super stressed, you know? But if you just don't want to get out of bed, that's different. That's like me. And the winter's hard for me. I don't love the winter. I'm like a summer girl. So the winter I have to kind of force myself, and the March is dark and it's cold, you know? But yeah, having the wearable is kind of nice for that kind of a thing when you're training a lot and you're like looking at trends over time. Like I've been in like the red or the orange for like a couple days now. I need to just reset here and maybe take a few days off, and then you come back feeling really great, and then you can do like a sweet workout, you know?
Yeah. Prioritize rest, guys.
In order, yeah.
You know, it's, we, I feel like rest is so underrated. We're in a culture where like hustle, 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 work hard, team, no sleep. And it's kind of like, no, that's going to catch up to you eventually. You want to get the rest. The sleep is important. And our body, food, eating, sleeping, just, is there anything you do like nutrition wise? Do you kind of, I know you talked a little bit in the beginning, you mentioned having kind of more of like that eating disorder, having issues with eating, of like losing weight, and you're probably like, you probably get anxious, like, oh, I want to run it off. I don't want to gain weight. So what does your relationship with food looks like now?
I mean, it's definitely changed over time, but there was definitely like a long time where it was just like a lot of restrictive eating, which leads to a lot of binging, and then that's emotionally not helpful. And there's actually a long period of time that like I just didn't get a period, and I was like, this is normal, this is fine. And then it's funny because I actually broke my femur in 2018. So I got a stress fracture, and I stopped doing everything for 8 weeks and got a period again. I was like, oh, that's weird, right? And so then I went back to my normal ways and got injured a few more times. And then I started listening to more podcasts about the reds. And I was like, previously I've been doing the intermittent fasting and trying to do a lot of fasted running, but I was being super restrictive. Like, you shouldn't eat this, and this is a bad food. And then I get home at night, and then I would just like go crazy, and then you're super depressed. But then I just started like eating more. Like, are you hungry? Like, when you wake up and you're super hungry, like, eat breakfast right away. Like, and then if you're still hungry, like, eat more breakfast. And then I realized, like, if you actually do that, like, I got a period back again, and then you're just not like, all food, like, foods are fine. Like, all of them, they're fine. Then you don't really eat a ton of them because you can have them whenever you want, you know? It's a lesson that took me a really long time to learn. But yeah, like, restrictive eating for me is just, now it's like, no, like, all foods, if you want some pizza, if you want some nachos, just eat them, and that's fine. But like, eat when you're hungry, and then like, don't when you're not. Like, if you're bored and you see yourself eating a whole bag of chips just because you're bored, like, then you're going to get a stomach ache, and then that's going to feel like shit. So, but I definitely noticed that things are, training goes better when you eat more, when you're running and when you're not running. And then I kind of just tell myself, like, I don't like fall. I don't eat a lot of meat. I eat like majority plant-based ish. Mm-hmm. Mostly cause I camp a lot too. And I don't know how to cook it. And then I don't want to take it to cooler. It's just easier. I'm like not nervous if my like tofu is going to go bad as much, you know? But it's kind of like, I ask a lot of my body at age 40 to do a lot of things. Like, you wouldn't drive your car if you didn't put gas in it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I should eat nutritious food, eat the food you want, and like eat enough of it, but like, don't make yourself sick. Right. So it's a constant battle. I mean, I feel like it's really common too. And it's nice that people are actually talking about it now, cause it was very like, don't talk about this. It's pretty common. And, it's nice that people talk about it, and now we can kind of normalize that, like, yeah, food's a tricky thing, and that's okay, and this is what's okay about it, you know, just being open with it. But I think fueling is better than not fueling, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's athletes, it's hard, right? Because we're constantly in this battle between, like, well, if I work it out, I know for myself, like, if I didn't run as much as I run, I'd probably be, like, 50 pounds heavier than I am today, and add in a sense of like, I get this, like, oh, I get it. When I don't run, I'm like, I start getting anxious. It's like, no, I can't, because I'm gonna wait. I have to run, which is, you know, it's something I'm working on. For your long runs, before a long run, like, what's a breakfast, something that you eat before your long runs, and then post your long runs? Is there anything that you just kind of, a staple that you normally just take after?
So it kind of depends, like, if I'm going early, or if I'm gonna go like up to Tahoe and I'm gonna drive an hour, then I'll have like my normal breakfast, which is like sourdough bread with avocado and spinach and eggs, like kind of like a avocado, like something like that. And then if I'm going to go right away, probably just like peanut butter and an English muffin, or I can do oatmeal too. Just, I can do cereal sometimes. I try not to do too much dairy right before, but if it's going to be a while, I'll have regular breakfast. But if not, I could eat like a Clif Bar on the way if I'm like running late or something, but I like real food. So that's pretty good. And then I usually have some sort of protein recovery in the car for like right afterwards. And then a lot of times if I'm home, I make like a potato veggie scramble with like beans and salsa and cheese and like a fried egg. So it's kind of like hash browns meets huevos rancheros, I guess, like kind of thing. Like it's a giant thing of it. So that's like a good, like on a regular, when I'm home for that. And then if I do like a big effort, like I'll go get a burger, you know, somewhere if that's easy. Sushi. If I do this silly thing on my birthday every year where I run my age, like in miles. Then I always go eat all you can sushi. Cause Reno's got some good sushi, which is ironic cause we're nowhere near water. So I don't understand how that works, but, yeah. So I like, it's kind of like what, like I try to just have some protein, some carbs. Oh, I do like those kettle chips too. I'll eat a lot of those after my run. So salt, and then like whatever like sounds good. Right. And just try not to delay it. Cause like I've spent like the times I don't eat right away, then I kind of feel sick later, and then your recovery kind of sucks too. So like have something small and then like whatever sounds good.
Do you have a go-to like company for your recovery drink that you like?
I do some of the scratch recoveries. Mm-hmm. I have some of the Tailwind too. Oh, I bought some of the Goo Roctane, the chocolate smoothie one.
And this is the Roctane that you mentioned that your friend gave it to you, and you were like, no, I'm
different,
not
one. Yeah, that's a different one, but they're both Goo Roctane. So yeah, they're both pretty good. I mean, a lot of the companies have really good stuff. I have like a little like thing with the feed that they give me of like some money every quarter or whatever, but the feed is really rad because it's like a place you can buy like all the things, all the nutrition stuff. So you can like test out little things. So you can be like, I want to try like one serving of this and one serving of all the stuff. And if you order enough, it like ships for free. So then you can like try them all out before you buy like a big bag of stuff. What's
it called, the feed?
The feed. Yeah. Okay. Just like thefeed.com. It's pretty rad. So it's been a good way for me to like try out. I realize I don't like chocolate anything when I'm running. So I'm really glad like I bought like one chocolate waffle to be like, oh, I don't like this at all. Instead of buying like a whole box. And then I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with all these s'mores flavored waffles? Right. So
yeah, it's important to test out what you like, the different types of flavors. But like you said, you had all this variation on your race day and
everything. Sure did.
Or nope, your body said no. And you're like, the one thing you didn't think it was going to work, it ended up working.
I gave it away because I was like, oh, you can have this. I think this is gross. You might like this. And I was like, okay, yeah, I want it back now.
Yeah, I have a disco say, yeah, Tailwind Recovery Coffee is so yummy. I haven't tried Tailwind Recovery drinks. I've tried, recently Scratch Hat just came out with the vegan option. So I'm actually excited to try that one. But
yeah. I've heard the horchata. I actually just ordered some and it's coming in. I've heard that one's really good, the Scratch horchata.
We have a question here, and then I know we're kind of towards the end of the podcast, but if you could meet anyone, any runner, athlete, who would it be and why?
Oh, gosh. I'm just a huge Courtney DeWalter fan. I mean, she just seemed, I would like to go on a big adventure with her. In the mountains.
You met her. Can you tell us about that? Like,
she was just, so she's at Broken Arrow. Like she just come, cause it's a Salomon sponsored event. So she was just there smooth, you know, just taking selfies with everyone, but it was cool. I like met her and she was like, how did your race go? She just seems really cool. I think it would be a really fun day to go out and go on like a fun adventure with her. You know, that would be cool.
Is there anything specific about her that you really admire, or like you just kind of like, oh, I think more women should be like this?
I mean, I think it's cool. Like she just kind of goes out and does what, like she's always said, like she doesn't have like a training plan or whatever. She's kind of like goes out and feels it and just goes for it. And I mean, it's pretty damn impressive the stuff she can do out there. Just like she just drops the field in like so many different things. And then like when she doesn't, she seems pretty cool about like that went bad, you know, like let's fix it and stuff. So I don't know, I mean there's a lot of actual female ultra runners that seemed really cool to go on a mountain day with, you know, like that would, I could name you a lot that would be like, oh, let's go on a mountain run. Yeah. You know? Yeah. There's some pretty rad women out there doing cool stuff.
What would you like to see more of for our ultra running community?
It's not very diverse, at least up here. So that would be, it seemed more diverse down at,
LA.
Yeah, that, I don't know how you do that, but it would be cool to just to see a different group of people out there, you know, just to kind of make it more well-known too. I feel like there's a lot of people like at my work who are just like, what did you do this weekend? That's like a thing, you know, like that people just don't really know about it, right? So like just make it a little more, not that it's not approachable, but well-known so that, you know, other people can kind of, doesn't seem so scary and weird, so people can come give it a try, you know? It's fun.
Because amongst our friends, like, you know, we're talking here about running 100 miles, like, oh yeah, you just won 100 miles, you know, like, no big deal. But like our kind of like a non-ultra runner will look at you like, what? Yeah. Like 100 miles, like, oh, that's just the beginning. It's actually 200 mile races. Like,
totally. I was like, people are doing stuff. Yeah. They're like, I don't even like to drive 100 miles. They're like, who's chasing you? I don't know. I'm like, there's a lot of it you don't actually run either. You like walk some of it. I mean, yeah.
what would you say it's another misconception of like ultra running that people kind of think, you know, one of those like running all the time, that's not true. You do a lot of hiking. What's another thing you would say like, or that shocked you too, like especially coming from a road running, you know, experience and going into ultra running, what's something that really like shocked you, like, oh, you could do this in ultra running?
Like eating all the stuff, like all the food you eat, you know, like it's like a mobile eating contest at some points, you know, like I was like, whoa, you eat like, you're gonna eat mashed potatoes while you're doing this? It's the weirdest thing I've ever heard of, you know? Like, I was just, like, shocked. Because at first I was like, oh, you just do gels. Like, you know, because when you run road marathons, like, you can get by with pretty, you know, like, skimpy amounts of calories in a road marathon. Or half, you know what I mean? You could do no calories if you want. Probably not advice, but you know what I mean? Yeah. But, yeah, just how much you're supposed to eat on these things is crazy. Yeah.
I think definitely more diversity. And we, like you said, you mentioned you probably saw a little bit more here, but it's still not much. Even just with women, like, and this is why I have this podcast, is I want to get more women out on the trails and make them feel more comfortable to get on the trails, because there's that fear of like, oh, it's in the mountains, I'm going to get attacked, or I'm going to, you know, something's going to happen to me. Nobody's going to know where I'm at. And I kind of want to break that. Like, no, like you can run on the trails. It's safe. It's actually, I think it's safer than the road, because
I was going to say it's safer than going on a run downtown.
I don't have to watch for a car like turning and running over a loose dog chasing me.
Yeah. I would say having my dog with me has made it really like, I didn't really venture out to like the places I do now, and I wouldn't have without him to like go with me, and like having a nice GPS watch that I can map out. Cause when I first started, it was like a paper map, and I was like, I guess I'll just try to find this. But having a watch that says like, oh, you're going the wrong way is nice. So like some sort of, you know, safety measure, you know, taking maybe like a little first aid kit and plenty, like I always take extra food and extra water. I usually carry a filter flask and try to go places where there is water. But like having my dog with me just gave me like all this like confidence and safety feeling that like no one's gonna mess with me. Like he's gonna, you know, he'll keep me safe. So that was definitely, you know, a big driver in like getting out to like bigger trails and going into like wilderness areas by myself, because I do that a lot. And people are always like, you do that by yourself? And I'm like, well, no, I do it with my dog, not by myself. Yeah. But yeah, it would be cool to see more women. Actually, it was one of the goals of getting, because they, the AC was a Hard Rock qualifier. And I was actually listening to another podcast, and they're changing that whole, because there's so few women that do Hard Rock every year, right? And they're changing that whole lottery that they're taking a percentage of women that get, that put into the lottery, and making sure that percentage gets pulled. So I was like, the more women that put in, I was like, so my goal is just to get fat, like through this, so I can put my name in a Hard Rock, so like more women get in. Like the more women that will put our names in, then the more women that get in and can run that race, which would be great. Cause they have like some years where there's like barely any, you know,
this race.
Do I have a, so now I think I need to try to find more mountain races. You know, like I do like want to run Western States because I volunteer at Forest Hill every year. And I you know, I think that's super fun. And I don't think I'll be that great at that race because it's so much downhill and I'm not very good at downhill. But like I want to experience it. I would like to run Hard Rock at some point. I don't know. There's a bunch of races. I was actually looking at Cascade Crest. Lets you have your dog with you for a little bit.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. That's cool.
Run with your dog if you could time it out. And I was like, maybe one more year he can still be running and we can like do just a snippet. He can be my pacer for just a little bit. That looks cool. And that actually looks like a beautiful course. So there's a lot. Like now I'm like, ooh, I like mountain races. This is fun. I like to hike. So now I'm going to start looking at different races. But yeah, I mean, there's so many out there. There's some pretty rad stuff to do.
Do you have an upcoming race for the anything else for the season, or is kind of...
I don't think so. Yeah, I'm going to go down the Mammoth Trail Fest to check it out. And so if I'm feeling good, I'll sign up for some of those just for fun to see it, because it seems like Broken Arrow vibey, and I'm at Mammoth all the time. I love that place. So I'll probably, if I'm feeling good, I'll sign up for some of those races. If not, I'll go down and drink some beer and spectate. But yeah, other than that, it's kind of nice to have some months with no races, and then I'll put in for lotteries in whenever that is, December, and then see what happens with those and then make some plans after that.
So you really have learned or feel that, you know, sometimes just having that downtime, mm-hmm. and not putting, don't put too much in the calendar, because it seems like that's what happened in last year.
Yeah.
Where it was just too much on the calendar, where it just led to kind of burnout or getting injured and just not doing so well, and then just kind of spreading things out a little bit more and allowing for recovery is probably the best way to go, right? And
yeah.
You're 40 years old and you just got into, like, you just ran your first 100 miler 2019, so that was three years ago,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you're killing it. You're like, people think that you need to do this when you're 20s, like, to start ultras.
I mean I didn't run that first ultra till I was 35. So yeah, it doesn't have to, you can start at any time. You just got to take care of yourself and like be patient.
That's the key. Take care of yourself, guys and ladies and gentlemen, take care of yourself, listen to your body. Mm-hmm. And my final question for you, Ashley, is what has ultra running taught you?
I just think confidence, right? Like that I can do scary things. I can do hard things. Like I can do things that, like, if I looked at like 20-year-old me, like, I don't think she would have thought she could do any of this stuff, you know, like that you can do hard things. So like, once you do these kind of races and get through it, like, you, other adversity kind of happens and you're like, I can do hard things. Like, I can get through this. So like when life hits you with hard shit, you're like, I can do hard things. So it just gives you the confidence that, and you know how to be resilient when things go poorly, you know, and climb out of the hole, you know, because that's kind of ultra running, right? You get in these pits and then you got to climb back out. So just like life in general, like it's kind of like a life in a day, you know, like they say. So yeah.
What do you want to tell that Ashley that, mm-hmm. is, you know, she's scared that she can't do hard things and she has this big goal and dreams, and you know, there's that fear of like, you know, what if you fail, what if you can't do it? Like, what do you want to tell, you know, the Ashley back, you know, years ago, of like a fearing of like, I have these crazy wild dreams, but I don't know if I can, and you're holding yourself back.
Yeah, just try them, you know? It's kind of like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You know, like, when I get, like, kind of just like, oh, shit, I don't know. Like, what is the worst that's going to happen? And you kind of, like, plan it out. Then this might happen. You might fall down. And then if you fall down, then you're going to be bleeding. You'll pick yourself back up, and you can walk back to your car, and that's fine. Or, you know, like, what if you, you know, in life stuff, too, just try. And then if it doesn't work out, like, just, that's okay, you know? Just give it a try. And what's the worst, like, catastrophize, like, how bad can it really be? Like, what's really the outcome if this doesn't, like, if you, especially if you, like, do a 100-mile race and you don't finish, like, that's, no one actually really cares, you know what I mean? Like, no one's gonna be like, oh my god, did you hear so-and-so didn't finish her race? Like, no one cares. Like, just try.
We have this last question. I'm like, from Brown Eye Girl. I'm 50, I'm running my first 50k this weekend. Amazing. Yeah. What do you suggest for me to do when becomes mentally challenging? That's an amazing question.
I think you should be really thankful that you're out there doing it, right? Like, there are so many people, 50, 40, 30, 20, who don't even have the, like, courage to try. So when it gets mentally, just be thankful that you're moving and that you're out in the outdoors and like be thankful for your body and just take one step in front of the other and you'll get there, you know? And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But like, just be thankful that your body can make it to the start.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So much for that question. That was a great question. And Ashley, thank you so much for your time. We went over time. I was like, I know we can go on forever. I really enjoy speaking with you today. Yeah. Again, congratulations on AC 100.
Thank you.
Good job. Thank you for sharing your story with us. It was yeah. Good to know you today.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been fun.
Yeah, we'll see you guys. If you guys listen to it later or you guys want to listen to the whole episode, I will be uploading it so you can listen to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or you could rewatch this whole episode through Instagram. So it will be up later tonight. So thank you everyone who joined us today. And Ashley, thank you so much for joining me and have a good evening.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.
Bye.